Good morning and welcome to our service of Holy Communion. This is the first Sunday of Advent, and we have a hymn which is going to play at the beginning of each service through Advent.
You might want to sit down for this.
Lord be with you.
And Lord, with you.
Would you like to stand as together we say the opening collect? Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. We read in the Gospel of John, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And in Psalm 95, O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make joyful noises to him with songs of praise. Our first hymn, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. What do we believe? We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. Our loving God commands us to love like him. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy on us, and write your law in our hearts by your Holy Spirit. But we confess that we have failed to live up to his standards. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all people, we acknowledge our many sins, which we have committed by thought, word, and deed, against your divine justice, provoking most justly your wrath and indignation against us. We earnestly repent, and are truly sorry for our sins. The remembrance of them grieves us, the burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. For your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that from now on we serve and please you in newness of life, to the honour and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of his great mercy has promised forgiveness of sins to all those who turn to him with true faith and repentance, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You that truly and earnestly repent of your sins and are in love and harmony with your neighbours and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God and walking from now on in his holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to comfort you. To all that truly turn to him, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." The Apostle Paul said, "This is a true saying and worthy of all people to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." The Apostle John said, "If any person sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation or perfect offering."
And now, what we've just heard, lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right to do so.
It is very good, right, and our bounden duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty Everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we praise and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Glory be to you, O Lord most high." We join you in this prayer of humble access.
We do not presume to come to this your table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your many and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, in your tender mercy you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death on the cross for our redemption. He made there a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, and he instituted and commands us to continue a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. Hear us, merciful Father, and grant that we, receiving this bread and wine, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood. For on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me."
Amen.
All who love Jesus may join us at the Lord's table. Small cups contain either grape juice or wine. Bread is gluten-free. Stand or kneel to receive Holy Communion. Encourage families to come together.
The night has passed, and the day lies open before us. So let us pray with one heart and mind. And as we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
The collect for the first Sunday of Advent. Let us pray for the presence of Christ with us. Cleanse our consciences, O Lord, and enlighten our hearts through the daily presence of your Son, Jesus Christ, that when he comes again in glory to be our judge, we may be found acceptable in his sight, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
God of grace and mercy, the news in the world weighs heavily on our hearts, and sometimes we don't know where to start, how to make an impact. We pray that you would now give guidance and strength and courage to do the hard work of becoming aware and informed, becoming engaged when we can, and having wisdom to know when to give support to others, better able to undertake change, restore peace, and tell of your saving grace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we pray for Christ Church worldwide and its mission. We give thanks for the good news of salvation for all people. We pray that you would strengthen us for our work in the world, that you would empower your church to proclaim the gospel in service, word, and sacrament, that you would unite in the truth all who confess your name, that we may live together in love to your glory. We pray for your people here in Greenwich. O Lord, we pray that our witness be always effective and faithful, our worship authentic. We pray that our lives may be renewed and transformed by Christ's indwelling Spirit, and may our hearts be bound together in loving service to one another in devotion to you. We give thanks for the godly leadership of Eric and Stephen Pym, and the support provided by Christine and Virginia, and pray that God's abundant grace will continue to sustain them. We pray and give thanks for all who serve you here, for those engaged in special religious education, those who teach Sunday school, for our Bible study groups, those that bring music to our worship, and for those that lead in our services. And we pray for our wardens, for wise decisions and the energy to accomplish those tasks you have set before us all. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray, Lord, that in this time of uncertainty and distress, you would sustain and support the anxious and fearful, and lift up all who are brought low. We pray for those whose suffering is far greater than ours. We pray for recovery for those suffering from long COVID, for those whose daily work exposes them to the virus. We remember and give thanks for those working in overcrowded hospitals and in care homes, and pray that you would urgently send more workers. We pray particularly for the people of Ukraine. We lament the violence that has come to their country. We pray that you would bring comfort and aid to those that suffer from the impacts of extreme weather events in this country and elsewhere in the world. And so, Heavenly Father, we commend to your mercy all those that are in need. We remember now those known to us who have specifically asked for our prayers, for Margaret and Vernon Ireland, Felicity Purdy, Murray and Sue Holmes, for Rowan Allen, Duncan Lupton, Paul and Hayley Hammerston, Rani and Robert Gowing and their prison ministry, Stephen Callister, for Bev DeLewis's nephew, and for Russell Lapman. Father, give them all a firm trust in your goodness. Strengthen those that minister to them, and bring us all into the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for those involved in missionary work. God of love, whose will it is that everyone should be saved, bless the work of our missionary organisations and all who will go and those who have gone to preach and teach and to heal. We pray particularly for those known to us, for Julie Holmes with CMS, and we continue to pray for her safety, for Richard and Sue Davies with AIM, for Isaac Morrison, and our friends with Bush Church Aid. Guard, guide, and use them. Raise up more people in your worldwide church to give to you and to go for you, that your church may grow, your will be done, your kingdom come, and your glory be revealed. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And we pray, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of your creation, planet Earth. We thank you for the beautiful, life-sustaining gift of creation. We pray that as individuals and communities, we become better stewards of what you have entrusted to us. Lord, we pray for those in the world already impoverished by rising sea levels and frequent extreme weather events. We pray for our political leaders, and may they be guided by concern for the common good and not by expediency of vested interests. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray these things in his strength and in his name, and now with the words that Christ taught his disciples. We pray together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Spot got forgotten. So let's stand and sing our song, Hear My Cry, O God.
The Bible reading today is from Philemon, and that can be found on page 970 of the Church Bibles. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank my God because I hear of your love for all the saints and your faith toward the Lord Jesus. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good that we may do for Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. For this reason, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty, yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. And I, Paul, do this as an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I am appealing to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, that is my own heart, back to you. I wanted to keep him with me so that he might be of service to me in your place during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent, in order that your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced. Perhaps this is the reason he was separated from you for a while, so that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. I say nothing about you owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I am writing to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. One more thing, prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping through your prayers to be restored to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Today we conclude our series, United in Christ. It's been quite a few good weeks, I think. We've learned a few things. This sermon today is the last one, and it's about being united with Christ in his people. And I wanted to start by asking you a question, and that is, hopefully, are you better than a beetle? Now, you have to understand the way I think. It's getting close to Christmas. Christmas makes me think of Christmas Beatles. The Christmas Beatles made me think of the other Beatles. And so I wanted to go there and say that in 1967, the Beatles released a single called All You Need Is Love. And we've had in our service already the great commandments to love God and love others. All you need is love, that's true. But by 1974, the Beatles decided to let it be and officially split up as a band. Should have had a B instead of a Beatle, but anyway. They went from being united to being untied, just like Philemon and Onesimus in the Bible. Even though they were master and slave, they went from being friends to being enemies when Onesimus ran away. Yet God brings Onesimus to faith in Jesus under the teaching of Paul. And now Paul insists that Philemon accept his runaway slave as a brother in Christ. And this comes across more, it's more than a request. It's a requirement in Paul's mind. If we are united in Christ, then we ought to be united with Christ's people. United with him in his people. Now before we unpack what that means, we're going to pray. As always, Father, we come to you and ask that you would open our eyes that we may see your truth, open our minds to understand it, open our hearts to receive it, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to apply it to our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. God is love. Did you know that? I think you might have heard that before. We love because he first loved us. You know that to be true. God commands us to love with all our heart, soul, mind and strength. We heard that in our service. God commands us to love our neighbours as ourselves. We heard that in our service. We hear it quite often. Jesus commands us to love others as he loves us. We know that to be true. And we are even commanded to love our enemies. But that's easier said than done, isn't it? Is our love for others genuine, or is it only theoretical? Do we just know these things, but not do them? I found this saying on the internet. I spend far too much time on the internet, but anyway. The real value of something can be judged only from practical experience or results, and not from appearance or theory. The real value of something can be judged only from practical experience or results, and not from appearance or theory. Or to put it more simply, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. It's one thing to know the theory of Christianity, it's another to put it into practice. We do not come into an eternal relationship with God by passing an entrance exam based on our knowledge of the Bible. So you can stop studying now. It's a practical exam that requires us to know Jesus and to reflect the love that he shows us in the way that we love others. It's a practical exam. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, says Jesus, if you have love for one another. The proof that we are in Christ, which is what this whole series is about, the proof that we are in Christ, that we are his disciples, Jesus says, is that we love other disciples. And this is Paul's plea to Philemon. Love Onesimus. Welcome him as you would welcome me. And notice I said this is Paul's plea and not Paul's command. Paul relies on love to motivate Philemon, not legalism. In Philemon verse 8, for this reason, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty, yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. And I, Paul, do this as an old man, and now as a prisoner of Jesus. I'm appealing to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. You can almost hear the tiny violin of sympathy playing loudly in the background. But Paul also sets the example for Philemon to follow. Paul is one of the major players in the formation of the early church. The only thing that stopped him from travelling around the world and making disciples for Jesus was his lengthy prison terms. Yet even here, he cannot help but share the good news of the gospel. And at one point we hear that even his prison guards get a daily dose, a daily serve of the gospel. The whole Praetorian Guard, the Roman soldiers, where he was kept when he was in prison in Rome, couldn't help but listen because they were chained to him, almost. So we don't know on guard, they weren't chained to him, he had freedom in that little room that he was in. We don't know if Onesimus was just working in a prison or was a prisoner himself. But we do know that Paul took an interest in him and in his development as a follower of Christ. Paul, in fact, becomes like an adopted father to Onesimus, as well as his spiritual father, as Onesimus is born again. Paul describes his relationship with another person called Timothy in a similar way. Timothy, though, is, in comparison, an elder in the church, very respectable. Onesimus is a runaway slave, not so respectable. But Paul does not differentiate. He considers them both to be his sons. He loves them both with unconditional love, with that same love that Christ showed to him. I'm reminded of what James writes in his letter to the Christian churches. In James chapter 2 from verse 1, my brothers and sisters, already we have this sense of family, my brothers and sisters, do you with your acts of favoritism really believe in our Lord, in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a person in dirty clothes also comes in, and you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, have a seat here, please, while to the one who is poor you say, just stand over there, sit at my feet, have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? You do well, this is James continuing, you do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, that law that we heard read out in our service this morning. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. You do well if you really fulfil that royal law. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. So James is saying, we don't get to pick and choose whom we shall love. Philemon is a godly man. We know that from what Paul tells us. He is a faithful follower of Jesus. He is a pillar of the church. But if he does not accept his runaway slave as a brother in Christ, this converted person as a brother in Christ, he is guilty of showing partiality or favoritism to those he considers more worthy of his love. You see, it would be much easier for Philemon to show love to those who were members of the church that met in his house, the familiar friends of his regular Bible study group. It would be much harder for him to show love to his runaway slave, whom he could legally have had executed for his crime. As Christians, we are not free to pick and choose the recipients of our love. That's the way the world operates, and we are not to conform to the thinking of this world. And remember the words of Jesus, who said in Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous." Jesus goes on, "For if you love those who love you," if you just specify who you're going to love, "if you only love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." And remember, the word perfect here means complete. So I take it as something saying something like, love completely, not selectively. Love wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly. Be complete in your love. When I look at the situation between Philemon and Onesimus, I'm reminded of the tension between Esau and his brother Jacob. Now, when Jacob returns to his brother after a long absence, he is unsure of the reception that he will receive, and for good reason. Genesis 27 reminds us of how Jacob had tricked his father into giving him the blessing that rightfully belonged to Esau as the firstborn son. He previously tricked Esau himself, then tricked his father as well, putting animal skin on his arms, wearing his brother's clothes, all these things. It says in Genesis 27, verse 41, "Now Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, 'The days of mourning for my father are approaching, and then I will kill my brother Jacob.'" This is the opposite of loving your enemy. But listen to what happens when Jacob and Esau finally meet. Genesis 33, from verse 1. "Now Jacob looked up and saw Esau coming, and 400 men with him. So he divided the children among Leah and Rachel and the two maids. He put the maids with their children in the front, then Leah with her children, and Rachel, his favourite, with Joseph, his most favourite son, last of all. And he himself went on ahead of them, bowing himself to the ground 7 times until he came near his brother, wondering what would happen next." Now, we can argue about Esau's theological misunderstanding of selling his birthright to Jacob for a bowl of soup, but perception is reality, and we find that Jacob has to confront the reality of Esau's perception that he was wronged. He was ripped off, and he felt angry. You don't get to tell an angry brother who has a small army with him that it's all his fault for being so foolish so many years ago. This could end badly for Jacob if he went that path. But as the story continues, something changed. Disaster was averted and the relationship was restored. In verse 4, Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Long story short, Esau loved his enemy. It was an act of grace. It was undeserved love. Jacob had ripped him off and didn't deserve this kind of affection. I think Paul is hoping for a similar outcome when Philemon meets Onesimus. He hopes that the one who feels wronged will learn to love their enemy. Paul adds some further incentives to help Philemon reach this outcome. And it's sort of like blows in a boxing match. Speaking about Onesimus to Philemon, Paul says, "Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful both to you and to me. And I am sending him, that is my own heart, back to you." There's those violins of sympathy playing in the background again. "I wanted to keep him with me," says Paul, "so that he might be of service to me in your place." Because of course you would want to be here helping me, wouldn't you? "During my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent, in order that your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced." Not from Paul, but from me. True love is freely given. It is neither fabricated nor forced. True love is freely given. It is neither fabricated nor forced by tradition or legalism or any of those, you know, community-minded pressures, peer group pressure. It has to come from the heart. So following these verbal jabs, Paul lands his knockout punch. Philemon, verse 15, "Perhaps this is the reason that he was separated from you for a while, so that you might have him back forever. No longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother. Especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord." And there we have it. If we are in the Lord, then we are in God's family. And all fellow believers become our beloved brothers and sisters, even the ones that have wronged us. And this will be true forever, so we may as well get used to it now. Paul lands just a few more punches before Philemon metaphorically hits the canvas. "So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, will write this with my own hand," because he usually had a scribe do his writing for him. He says, "Now, let me get the pen out. I will repay you." To say nothing about you owing me your own self. Yeah, we'll get those violins happening again. "Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ." As Paul calls Philemon his brother, he wants Philemon to call Onesimus brother. Well, there's no split decision here. Paul's won by a knockout, and he knows it. So he goes on and says, "Confident of your obedience, because I know I've won you over with my argument, I am writing to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. And one more thing. Prepare a guest room for me, for I'm hoping that through your prayers I'll be restored to you." Now, I'm sure Paul didn't mean to make it sound like he was going to come and check up on how this anticipated reconciliation between Philemon and Onesimus was working out. I'm sure that was just a happy coincidence. But the letter to Philemon was not a one-off theological entreaty from Paul. It is consistent with his teaching throughout the New Testament. At the end of this letter, as in his letter to the Philippians, Paul talks about his partnership with fellow workers. And this partnership extends to those who are fellow prisoners with Paul because of their work for the gospel. And here, Paul mentions Archippus, our fellow soldier. And Philemon himself is described as Paul's friend and co-worker. And Paul uses many images to describe these close relationships, this partnership. But we also get this image of being members of God's family together. Timothy is described as our brother, and I think Philemon is also. And Apphia, it's my mother's name, Apphia is described as our sister. And we have this image of being members of the family together. We have a common bond. We have a common purpose as God's family. We also share a common love for each member of the family. You don't have favourites. 1 Timothy 5 says, "Do not speak harshly to an older man, but speak to him as a father. To younger men as brothers. To older women as mothers, and to younger women as sisters, with absolute purity." This was not a private message from Paul to Philemon asking for a favour. This was Paul reminding Philemon of his calling as a member of God's family to love each and every member of that family the way Jesus does. And the point is, Philemon was already doing that, wasn't he? Generally speaking, you look at Philemon's life and he's already doing that. What does Paul say in verse 4? "When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank my God because I hear of your love for all the saints." He's already doing this. "Your faith toward the Lord Jesus, I hear of this. You are an example to everyone in how you love others." But what Paul is asking of Philemon is to extend that love to just one more member of the family, to the one that Philemon would prefer to overlook. This one act of acceptance, this one revelation of reconciliation, would proclaim a louder message to the world of the reality of a living Lord in the life of Philemon than 100 well-prepared and expertly delivered sermons or Bible studies. But this kind of love can only come from God through his Holy Spirit. So listen to what Paul says in verse 6. "I pray that the sharing of your faith may be more effective when you perceive all the good that we may do for Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother." So Paul's plea to Philemon is, perceive the good that you can do for Jesus in accepting back your runaway slave and loving him as a brother in Christ. And therein lays the challenge for us. Whom do you consider an enemy who has wronged you? Whom have you overlooked while you've been loving every other neighbour as you love yourself? Whom do you need to accept and love as a fellow sister or brother in the Lord? Are you better than a beetle? The other kind of beetle. Not the Christmas variety, but the musical one. They could sing "All You Need Is Love." They could sing it with, you know, brilliance, whatever word you want to use to describe the way they could do it. But they didn't seem to be able to live out that truth, could they? Not even with each other in their own intimate little relationship as a band. They couldn't do it. Jesus demonstrated his love for us in that while we were his enemies, he gave his life for us. If we want the world to know that Jesus is the risen Lord and that we are his disciples, then we need to learn to love others as he loves us, and to love each and every member of God's family as a brother or sister. No exceptions. Let's ask God to help us do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please challenge us and change us by the truth of your word, and please encourage and strengthen us by the power of your Spirit to put into practice what we know to be true as we reflect in our love for others, as we reflect in our love for others the love that your Son Jesus Christ has shown to us. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Knowledge of that love, stand and sing. peace with the Father.
Take a seat. As far as birthdays are concerned, Michael Allen had a birthday on the 26th, Sue Holmes on the 29th. Parish Council meets, that's my thing to celebrate, I mean, no, it is. Parish Council meets Monday night, so whether you're praying at that time or at another time, do pray for your council as we deliberate how best to serve God and to have His will as our guide. And I can't read this other one. No, don't know what that is. I'll get back to that later. Is there any other announcements? Oh, we have the Toys for Tucker.
Oh yes, Toys and Tucker will be picked up on the 8th.
Yes,
8th. And thank you so far, people have been incredibly generous, thank you. And another notice that ladies' coffee get together at my place first Saturday, 10:30, 1st of December. I think it's the 3rd, is it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Coffee for the ladies, anybody will.
Yeah, it's so open coffee. It's a coffee shop, just having my place.
Yeah, the coffee at the rectory on the first Sunday in December, the 3rd of December, for those who are listening. Well, welcome, and the toys and tucker will be collected on the 8th of December. Is Robin?
Yes, thanks to everybody for their help last week. We took 32 bags up to Valentine's for the Share the Dignity uphill.
Wonderful.
It was a very good effort on everybody's part.
Again, for those listening at home, 32 bags were collected for the Share the Dignity campaign. We're taking up to Bunnings last week, and Robin thanks everyone who is involved in that, in contributing and collecting and putting it together. Any other notices? Oh, that's what that is. That word is Christmas. Christmas services. They're coming up, apparently. So there will be the normal 5 p.m. one on the Christmas Eve and the 9 o'clock one on the Christmas Day. Do put them in your diary. And don't forget to keep in your diary the fact that we're hoping to have a prayer, what do you call them? Studies in January and February that Imogen's going to be helping to run.
Okay,
and we do have a prayer meeting at the beginning of the church service each week as well. I've got more. This is true. In this series in January, we're having Living Under the Lordship of Christ. So being in Christ is good, and living under the Lordship of Christ is great as we not only think about coming in under Him, but going out with Him and through Him and for Him. And that'll be all sorts of ways that we'll have Jasper and Isaac and Celia, and it'll be great to have that January series going on. And I think after that, a reminder that CMS Summer School is coming up in January as well. And that's something you should consider having a look at, going to, even if you travel up for a day on the train or whatever, or go for the week. Great to see real-life missionaries back from the field telling us about what God is doing in them and through them. So that's an encouragement. And was there something else?
No.
Nope, that's it. In which case, let's stand as we go out to morning tea together and have this blessing from God. Please stand. So, as we think about this unity in Christ as God's family together, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.
Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.
Amen.
Thank you.